Today, we're going to put the spotlight on our words. So it's not just important to walk the walk, it's important that we talk the talk. And here's what I've learned about pressure moments. Pressure moments can sometimes create, like the first casualties of our Christ-like behavior can be our words. Like, think about it. You smash your thumb whenever you're trying to hammer something, or you're going through a difficulty at work. Sometimes kind of what comes out of us first is not the healthiest, maybe not the choice comment that we would choose to make. I saw this t-shirt recently, gave me a laugh, thought I'd share it with you. It just simply says this: I love Jesus, but I cuss a little. So when things aren't going our way, when we're going through those tough times, our words can get wonky. And so one thing can happen, maybe we let a curse word or two fly, or maybe we'll express ourselves in kind of like a Charlie Brown self-pity kind of way, like, you know, nothing good ever happens to me. Or maybe you get a little bit more frustrated and harsh, and your words can get abusive when you feel under pressure. Or maybe you play the blame game, and when you get under pressure, you're looking for somebody to pin this on. But I think all of us have had moments where we've been embarrassed by what comes out of us when we are under pressure. And so it takes, listen to this, it takes a manly effort to tame the tongue. Now, I choose those words on purpose because today being Father's Day, I am going to spin a little bit of our application in the direction of dads. Because dads, I want you to hear this. The most powerful force on earth is when you as a father take the time to mold and shape your words in the form of a blessing. A father's blessing is powerful. And today that's what I want to talk to you about. The power of blessing. Because your mouth was made to praise the Lord. Your mouth was created, it was fashioned so that you could speak a blessing. And when we're going through hard times, the deal's not off. No. When we're going through hard times, that's still the purpose of your mouth, is to praise the Lord and to give a blessing. Romans chapter 12 says this: when we are persecuted, and I can't imagine a harder thing to go through than persecution, but it says to bless those who persecute you. So the deal's not off when we're going through hard times. God still expects we will use our mouths to praise and to bless. And so today I want to talk to you about the power of blessing. I want you to understand God's wired you to participate in this thing called a blessing. That's God's wisdom for your life. He wants you to bless your spouse, to bless your kids, to bless the people at your work, to bless people in the community. He wants you to bless the nation, bless the economy, bless. God wants you to bless because there's power in blessing. Why? Because God Almighty, listen, will get behind your words and he'll put his weight to your words, so you're not just making a wish. It's not like a birthday wish and you blow out the candles. No. Whenever we speak blessing, it is an invitation for God Almighty to put his weight to your words so that what you bless actually has the opportunity to come to pass. Amen. It's strong. And you have to learn how to be a blesser. So I want you to take your Bible and open with me to James chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 1 through 12. If you don't have a Bible with you today, we will put it on the screen so you can track with us. James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. We're going to learn today the power of blessing, how to be a blesser, especially men. Dads, come on, this is your invitation to step into this big time. Be a blesser, all right? So verse 1, chapter 3. It says, dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Now, teachers here refers to those who had the specific assignment and responsibility of teaching the word of God to a group of people, a church, a flock, a congregation. So notice this. James starts his conversation about our words by giving teachers as an example. Why is that? Because teachers who use words have to be stewards of those words, guardians of those words, because their words have weight to them. They have influence in what they say. A teacher can influence people who will believe, and they will be inspired, and they will be built up. And so there's weight to their words. There's also the ability to teach falsehood, which will tear down people's faith and trust in the Lord. A teacher's words have weight. They are influential. And so he says, you've got to be careful, because your words, you're going to be held accountable to your words. Now, Jesus kind of leaned into this same direction to warn us about our words. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, Jesus said, I tell you. Now, listen, anytime Jesus pauses and says, I'm going to tell you something, we got to be listening, right? If he says, I tell you, you got to listen. On the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. That's sobering. So a teacher has to guard their words carefully because of the influence of their words. From time to time, I have someone ask me this question. Pastor Chuck, how come you are not more vocal on social media? Why don't you weigh in more? Why don't you express your opinion more? Why don't you tell us more what you think through all the menus and venues of social media? And I will say the reason is because this verse. Because I have to carefully consider all of my words, because I know that there is a certain measure of influence to my words, and I want to steward them well. In fact, here's what I have decided. This is just for me. This is what I've decided. I've decided to have higher regard for the influence of my words than I do the freedom to say whatever I want. It's not that I don't have opinions. Come on, guys. I got opinions about everything. But I regard higher my influence than the freedom to just give you my opinion. I think you can probably appreciate the position that I'm in, having to adopt that stance. Now, James anticipates everybody kind of hearing that example and going, well, yeah, teachers have to be responsible for their words. And he has an anticipation of everybody's going to be nodding their head. So he turns into verse 2 and says, indeed, we all make many mistakes. We all get hung by the tongue. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. The word perfect is the word for mature. It was the word used in James' day to describe a grown man. So he's saying it takes some maturity, some grown man effort to take on the assignment of taming your tongue. Back in the 90s, the University of Arkansas was ranked number 2 in basketball. The number 1 team was UNLV, and they had a regular season game scheduled in Fayetteville, Arkansas. So it was a big showdown between number 1 and number 2. Now, UNLV, who was the number 1 ranked team, played really well. Arkansas played well. But in the end, UNLV started to pull away. And the reason they started to pull away is because they had the best basketball player in the country at that time, Larry Johnson. Larry Johnson is in this picture. He's the middle cat, 6'7", about 270 pounds of muscle. He was a man among boys. And so during the game, he just starts to pull away. His skills are just so much better. And there's a point in the game when he comes through the middle, the lane. He comes through and just slams the ball with such strength and authority and just kind of hangs on the rim for a second and lets himself down. And then he just kind of turns to jog back up court, and he runs right beside the Arkansas bench. And as he's jogging by the bench, he looks at the head coach, Nolan Richardson, for Arkansas, gives him a side eye and says, hey, if you're going to guard me, you better get some men. They asked Coach Richardson after the game what he thought about that. And he said, I thought I better go get some men. Taming the tongue takes some, listen, it takes some grown effort. But if you put forward the effort, the promise in the passage is we'll get even greater maturity in Christ if we learn to discipline our words. So in the rest of the passage, verse 3 through 12, he gives us a series of illustrations and examples that reinforce three important truths. And I'm just going to give you the truths right up front. These are the three things that he wants us to see in this passage. Number one, there is power in our tongue. I want every person to be reacquainted with that reality today. I don't want anybody leaving this room without remembering there is power in my tongue. My words have influence. We have the ability to direct our lives and to shape our future with our words. In the creation narrative, we're told over and over, how did God bring into being everything that's been brought into being? He spoke it into existence, and God said, "Let there be light." So there's power to our words. And in some way, God has shared that force of the words with us so that our words carry weight. Our words have influence. Our words have power. Listen, guys, there is power in your tongue. Number two, James wants us to be reminded that because of our sinfulness, our words are more often hurtful than they are helpful. It's kind of like by nature, we kind of default to being more negative than positive. And so he'll use descriptions of our tongues as a fire and pollution and evil and poison just to remind us this is where we'll naturally go with our words if we're not on point, if we're not paying attention. And then number three, James uses this section of Scripture to challenge us as followers of Christ to recognize our need to be more consistent and specifically to opt in the direction of blessing. Now listen to me, we've got the freedom to use our tongues any way we want to. But James is saying if you follow Jesus, you're going to have to harness your tongue and you want to focus that power so that it's more an instrument of blessing, building up, than it is cursing, tearing down. There's power in blessing. Look at verse 3. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. Now, you may have seen this before. I've never seen this. But from time to time, we've looked up cruises. I have never seen a cruise ship promote its rudder. Have you? I mean, I've seen other dimensions of the ship, amenities that are on the boat, the exotic stops that it intends to take. I've seen all kinds of descriptions, yet I've never seen one description of the rudder. No one pays attention to the rudder unless it doesn't deliver you into the port of call. Then you might think about the rudder. So intriguing. James is infatuated how small things have such a big influence on outcomes. Look at verse 5. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. The tongue's so tiny, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. Guys, wars have been started with words. Words from time to time become so influential and inspirational. They promote great human sacrifice. Words are a spark that can spread like a fire. There are some coaches who are kind of known for their ability to like have pregame and halftime speeches to like motivate the morale of their team and elevate their performance. I think my best like pregame speech happened to a group of eighth graders. We showed up to play at their field. They came out. The other team came out for warmups, and I went, uh-oh. They are grown men and we are boys. They were bigger, stronger, faster than any of our kids. Now, to my credit, listen, two of the kids on that eighth grade team now have their name on NFL rosters. Two. Wow. They were B-I-G-T-I-M-E, big time, all right? And I looked at our boys and went, uh-oh. So we went into the locker room, and I thought, now, what am I going to say? What is my best David and Goliath kind of speech? You know what I decided? Just be truthful. So I looked at him, I said, boys, we will not win this game. We don't have a chance. If we line up against them in every measurable category, we lose. So here's what I want you to do. You go have the most fun of any team on the field ever. Just go out there and work on your skills, work on your technique, but just laugh. If they knock you on your tail, just get up and laugh about it. If someone runs past you, just, well, bless God, you gave them more speed than you gave me. Just go out there and just embrace. Don't worry about it. They came out of the locker room, our team, and they had so much bounce and they had so much joy on their face. You know what happened? Yeah, we got beat by 100, but still. But nobody had a frown at the end of the game. They're all, you know, it's okay. And it felt like a win to me, right? So your words are so influential. And they're so important. They can spread like a wildfire. Verse 6 reminds us how destructive our words can be. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. That means your personhood. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Please notice that. The devil is very interested and invested in your words. Hell is pulling out all stops for us to make verbal mistakes, because the consequences, guys, are incredibly high. Notice this expression. It can set your whole life on fire. The word whole is the word for wheel. And what it means is there's an ancient symbol of a wheel to represent the entirety of life and generations. Just like a wheel goes round and round, life goes on and on. And so in the ancient's mind, the wheel represents like the entirety of life and generation after generation. And James says, be careful, be mindful, be watchful, because your tongue can set the entirety of your life and for generations on fire. Been pastoring people for 30 years. And in 30 years, I promise you, I have heard many, many stories of how lives and families have been burnt to the ground by words. Sometimes it's how we talk. I've heard people say this, you know, like, well, you know, I'm a yeller. My dad's a yeller. My grandma's a yeller. We're just all yellers. That's what we do. That's just how we do home life. We just yell at one another. I've heard that. I've also heard people talk about kind of the content of words that have been hurtful. I've heard people say things like, my mom used to tell me all the time, you'll be nothing. Words are powerful. They're influential. They can set a whole life, a whole heritage on fire. Verse 7, people can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish. You've been to the circus. You've seen this before. But no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Now, this is important. James is not making an admission of futility. It's not like he's saying, you know, well, we can never, ever do anything with our words. No, he's just creating a sobering moment to remind us of how much effort it's going to take for us to tame the tongue. The description of a restlessness, it's restless, it is the word describing an inadequate cage for a wild animal. Like if you were to see a lion in a rickety cage, you'd kind of go, well, that's not going to hold that lion very long. And so James is like saying, whenever we think to ourselves like we've got it under control, you're never going to fully domesticate your tongue. You're never going to have a moment where you can reach and go, oh, been there, done that. I've got my tongue under control. It will never be a problem for me again. We're going to have this fight with our tongue the rest of our life. There are days we're going to have great wins. Man, I didn't cuss that much today. I didn't lose my patience and scream at anybody today. There are days you're going to feel the wins, but guess what? You're going to go to bed and wake up tomorrow, and those fights are going to have to continue. James gives us kind of a window into this back and forth, beginning in verse 9. He says, sometimes it meaning our tongue, praises our Lord and Savior, our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who've been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come from out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. So James acknowledges the struggle. And so we do well to go back and look at an earlier verse, verse 4, where it says, and a small rudder makes a huge ship, notice this, turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. So listen, there is a choice for how we use our words. We choose to harness our words and to invest them and to release them in a more substantial way. There is a choice to commit to blessing. You say, well, I hear that terminology, but what does it actually mean? What does it mean to bless? Here's a little accessible definition. A blessing is when we use our words to create clarity through truth. So the blessing is speaking the truth in love. We're not just making, like, you know, hypothetical quotes or, I mean, we're actually promoting what is true. A blessing is creating clarity through truth. It's inspiring hope, and it's drawing in our spiritual authority. Now, that's the part that I really want you to dial into, is the spiritual authority piece of this. What this means is we can say something that's true and hopeful, but what really gives our blessing its level of credibility is we invoke spiritual authority into our words. So we're not just making a birthday wish, we're actually speaking a blessing. And what creates weight to our words is the fact that that blessing is an invitation for God Almighty to step into the mix of our blessing and to put his integrity and his honor and his strength and his power behind our words, so that the wish doesn't just come true. No, God makes that a reality because he's honored our blessing. We have to learn how to harness the power of a blessing to speak truth and hope and life into a circumstance, believing that God gets behind that and God can make that a reality. Amen. Blessing. Some of you might remember a story in the Old Testament, one of the patriarchs by the name of Isaac. Isaac gives his blessing to his son Jacob, but Jacob tricks his father Isaac to give him his blessing instead of his older brother Esau. Esau is in line to receive the blessing. That's where it should go. He's the firstborn. But Jacob, being a schemer, tricks him. Now, when the jig is up and everybody knows what happened, what we expect is for Isaac to go, deals off. This was trickery. I'm out. I'm going to give him the blessing, not you. That's what we expect. And yet, what we read of Isaac is Isaac confesses to his son, son, I can't withdraw my blessing. Because once I've spoken it, once I've created a pathway and an invitation for God Almighty to take these words and to inflame them and to fuel them so that they can become reality, I can't withdraw that. I've already brought God into the mix. Now, there's stuff in that I'm not sure I fully understand, but there's enough there to beckon me that there is power in my blessing. And when I open the door for God Almighty to lean in, there is a power and a spiritual authority. There's a juice to my blessing. Amen. And the more you can learn that, the more you will be a blesser. Because you'll recognize in the opportunities of life where God's positioned you that actually you can let your voice speak into something and bring life to it. Amen. And so we need to listen. All of us need to be blessers. Amen. Men, women, boys, girls, all of us need to be blessers. But again, I'm going to hone for the next few minutes my conversation to focus in on dads. Because I'm going to remind you, there's no more greater force in the earth than when a father takes the time to form with his mouth a blessing. That is a powerful force. Be a blesser. You say, well, I'm not sure I know how to do that. Let me give you some guide points. Number one is I want you to be available to be a blesser. That doesn't sound like a big thing, but here's the deal. Most of us are not active blessers because we're so busy and so distracted. And so opportunities come around for us to speak life into something, and we just miss the opportunity because we're not paying attention. And so I'm calling you to be available, to be more present and aware of the opportunities God gives you to be a blesser. So open your eyes, open your ears, be more in touch, be more aware, be more sensitive, be more present, be more available for God to use you in that way. Number two, be purposeful. Be purposeful. Say some things on purpose. Now you may say this is where I might struggle the most because I don't know what to say or what to do. Well, I'm not going to leave you hanging. We're going to provide you a resource this week. And dads, I'm going to challenge you. Hey, remember, it goes for everybody. But dads, I'm specifically going to challenge you for the next 7 days to practice being a blesser. We're going to give you something specific on each day that you can use to bless in the life, whether that's your child or your spouse, a coworker, someone that just randomly comes across your path. But you practice being a blesser this week. You can get this resource online. We'll have it available through Facebook. We'll get it to you. But we want you to take it and use it as a resource to know, what do I do? So like day one starts with like courage. The opportunity to bless someone with courage. You say, okay, now how do I do that? Well, you can draw upon like an encouraging thought. And you can use that as a way to bless someone. For example, you can look at your child's life and you say, you know what? Whenever I notice that you do that, that's courageous. When I see you do that, that's courageous. And I want to bless you with more courage to do that more often. So you can kind of lean in with that kind of a thought. Or you could send them a scripture. And you say, you know, I'm thinking about this scripture. Be strong and courageous. I know it's hard right now to be a person that goes to work and has integrity, but I'm blessing you with the courage to go into your office place and stand strong. A prayer. You could offer a prayer. I don't know. There's all these different ways, but you use your voice to bless. You say, well, do I have to say it personally? I think the most powerful way for you to bless someone is to look them right in the eye and say, you know what? I want to bless you, my brother. May the Lord give you courage. I think that's the most powerful way to do it, but you may not have access to bless the person that you would like to in a face-to-face kind of way. So you can text them a blessing. You can email that. You can put it up on social media. There's so many different ways that you can activate the process of taking each of these daily blessings and just find someone in your life path that you can bless. Why? Because we believe there's power in it. We believe that. That when we provide that one piece of direction, that when we encourage in that picture, God gets behind it. God puts his weight, and it's not a birthday wish. God is bringing that to pass because he's honoring our words. Be a blesser. Say something purposeful. And then number three, be authentic. Be authentic. Be real. Be vulnerable. You don't have it all figured out. I mean, you might even be able to say, it relates to courage, like, I want to bless you with courage because in my life, I haven't always been courageous. There have been moments when I could have stepped up and I didn't. And so I don't want you to make the mistake that I've made. I want to bless you with courage. Be transparent. Be authentic. After all, listen, it's really not about you anyway. You're pointing people to the one who is truly courageous, who will inflame their life with courage and strength. Be authentic. Now, as we land the plane, let's rewind. I want to give you these reminders of what we're going to take away from the day. One is you're going to walk away with a renewed sense that there's power in your words. Nobody gets a pass. We're all walking out there. You know what? I've got to be accountable to my words because there's power in my words. Whether you're a teacher or not, there's power in your words. Number two, we're going to move with blessing. We're going to practice it this week. We got a little script that we can kind of walk through. But this is not going to be static. This is not one and done. No, we're going to move with blessing. And it may be awkward at first for you to kind of look at somebody and go, hey, man, I want to bless you. That may be awkward for you. You may feel a little weird in doing that. But the more you practice the blessing, the more natural it becomes for you to be a blesser. And there's power in it. So why wouldn't you want this to be a regular gear of your life? Move with it. Not stand. Move with it. Wherever you are, you're a blesser wherever you are. Here's the third and the final one. And this needs to be kind of where we land on the ground and just kind of consider this for a moment is we may have to get God involved, listen, in healing our tongues. Because here's the thing. When we kind of think about our words, some of us realize, man, I got some real challenges ahead of me because my mouth, my words, my tongue, it's gotten me in trouble. It gets me in trouble. So maybe we need to get God involved, healing our tongues. Because the word tells us, James tells us that hell wants to set fire our tongues. But I'm going to tell you something. There's another fire burning, not just the fire of hell. There's another fire burning. There's a fire burning in heaven at the altar of God, in the presence of God. There is a fire burning. And there's a wonderful picture in the book of Isaiah of what God can do with his fire. The prophet sees a vision of the Lord, and man, it just stirs him up so much. He writes this in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Woe to me, I cried, for I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. The prophet cussed a little. He had a little self-pity. He had moments that he played the blame game. My lips are unclean. And I live among a people of unclean lips. If there was any time in our life that felt this verse was speaking to it, it's now. My goodness, our tongues are on fire. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the angels, a seraphim, flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which had been taken with tongs from the altar. And with it, look at this, he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. There's healing. It's healing in that word. There's healing in this house. Because some of us feel the need to confess, man, listen, with my words and my mouth has just not been right. And so I need the Lord to heal my mouth. It may be the fact that you're processing, there's been some words that I've spoken that I would really love to rewind, but they've already created hurt. And so I need God to take one of those coals and purge some words that I've spoken. I'll take responsibility. I'll own it. Maybe I need to apologize to some people, but I need God to purge the guilt of some of my words that I have spoken. Can I tell you honestly, this is where the Lord has had me this week. Not more than a year ago, my grown son looked at me and said, Dad, when you said this, it broke my heart. And I just said, Dear Lord, I'm sorry. There was a better way for me to say that. I should not have said that. There may be things that you have said that you feel like have had a negative effect on some people that you love. And so the Holy Spirit can go get one of those coals from the fire of God and touch it on the words that have been spoken and purge the guilt of those words, the sin of those words. God can purge that. Or maybe you're a person saying, I need to confess the fact that, listen, I have let my life come under the control of a curse. And people have said some things to me and I've bought into it. I've built my life around a lie. And so I need the Holy Spirit to heal me of following after lies, words spoken in haste and hurt.